take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? It's easy to ignore our needs and spread ourselves too thin. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/serial today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/serial.
From Serial Productions and the New York Times, this is the Improvement Association.
Chapter 4, Let Them Pull the Red Wagon. Here we are, August 2019, the eve of a congressional election. The special election. The do-over after the cheating scandal. The one where McCrae Dowless allegedly pulled his illegal absentee ballot shenanigans. After which, even the Republicans had agreed. Okay, throw out the results. Let's try this again. So, new congressional election. The candidates this time around are Dan McCready, he's the same Democrat as last time, and then another Dan Bishop, he's the new Republican candidate. And
two of the candidates vying to represent the state's 9th congressional district.
It's a televised debate between the two Dans, the one and only debate of the race. And at the end, they do that gimmick where both candidates are allowed to ask each other a question. If you've ever watched a political debate, you know those questions aren't really questions. Their little speeches, setups to try to stick it to the other guy, make him look bad. To that end, you might think, Republican Dan Bishop would do his level best to avoid any talk of McCrae Dowless and the rollicking national embarrassment through which his party, the Republican Party, had just dragged the voters of North Carolina, which caused the special election to happen. But no, he goes right there to allegations of election fraud. He says to the Democrat, Dan McCready, never mind McCrae Dowless. I want to talk about someone else.
But tonight I want to ask you about Lola Wooten.
Lola Wooten, she's a campaign worker in Bladen. Key fact here, unlike McCrae, who has 13 indictments, she has zero. You can forget her name, in fact, as soon as we're done here. But Republican Dan Bishop is trying some cynical rhetorical gymnastics right now at the 11th hour of the 11th hour, with early voting already underway. Check it out.
She turned in excess of 200 applications for absentee ballots.
That was perfectly legal at the time, by the way.
She signed as a witness on the ballot envelopes for many, many people.
Also legal.
She was paid by the Bladen County Improvement Association.
Also legal, but no matter, there it is. The PAC, on TV, associated baselessly with election fraud. Dan Bishop keeps going.
The Bladen County Improvement Association, in turn, was paid by the federal account of the North Carolina Democratic Party.
Legal.
And the federal account of the North Carolina Democratic Party was funded by your campaign.
Also legal. All of it. Yet, Dan Bishop wants to know, all gotcha-like, what'd you do about that, Dan McCready?
Can you explain what steps you took to ensure that Lola Wooten wasn't harvesting ballots or influencing elderly and infirm people in the completion of their ballots?
And Democrat Dan McCready gives your basic, I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
Let me answer this question by sharing my horror that after the largest case of election fraud in recent American history, a fraud that took place in our towns in North Carolina, where people—
To me, his answer is notable for what he doesn't go on to say. He doesn't say the Bladen Improvement Association, a black get-out-the-vote group, hasn't done anything wrong. And you using their name to attack me over election fraud, it's not only profoundly ironic, it's race baiting. He says nothing like that. This pungent exchange during the debate, for one thing, it perfectly illustrated Horace's constant complaint that unfounded accusations and insinuations about the PAC have been turned into weapons by Republicans. To the point that, out of all the things that a congressional candidate could choose to talk about in his closing argument to voters, the Bladen Improvement Association was the Republicans' parting shot. And the Democrat, Dan McCready, well, this wasn't the first time he dodged talking about the PAC. Throughout the race, local reporters who'd covered the cheating story had been asking McCready, are you working with the Bladen Improvement Association now, or did you ever? Dan McCready was like, nope.
I've not worked with them.
While campaign finance records show he has not donated to them before, we asked Dan McCready if he planned on working with the group for the next election.
It's not something I've thought about. I have not really worked with them.
It sounded like McCready considered the PAC a liability. And it also sounded like he was saying he'd never even met those guys, which made Horace really mad. Horace and Cogdale, actually. During the first congressional race, the one that ultimately got thrown out, the PAC's relationship to the McCready campaign was the normal stuff. He's a Democrat. They support Democratic candidates. They endorsed McCready on their sample ballot, mobilized their Get Out the Vote machine for him and for everyone else. But once the allegations of fraud by McCray Dowless started to get out, members of the PAC started getting calls from Black voters who were upset, who said they thought their votes had been tampered with by McCray's workers. So the PAC members who received those calls, motivated in part to bring down Republican operative McCray Dowless, they went to some of those voters' homes, told them, hey, this is wrong, what happened to you. It's important to speak up. Do you want to write up an affidavit? Some of those signed affidavits ended up central to the state hearings in Raleigh. It was Democrats around the county who did this, not just PAC members. But those affidavits, gotten by Bladen County Improvement members, they were key. A big reason why a new election was called. The special election. In which Democrat Dan McCready was given a second shot to win the district. But as the special election approached, McCready ignored the PAC. And I started to hear about it from Horace. A Democrat trying to run in Bladen County, who not only didn't seek an endorsement from the PAC, seemed to be actively avoiding it, like it was toxic. McCready didn't send money to the PAC for Get Out the Vote. He hired his own people from outside to temporarily live and work in Bladen County. And Horace was offended. This wasn't how he was used to being treated.
Once McCready was granted a new election, all of a sudden, he didn't want to talk to me. He didn't want to be close to Cogdale.
Horace says Cogdale told him about this one thing that happened a few months back. This big Democratic gathering of local politicos from across the 9th District to support the McCready campaign.
They were getting ready to shoot it. Just take a picture of him with Cogdale. He stepped away.
McCready stepped away and avoided taking a picture with Cogdale, which can be a big deal at local campaign events. And then, according to Horace, McCready wouldn't talk to Cogdale when Cogdale approached him.
Cogdale and he had a conversation about how he could win an election in Bladen County. He said, hey, you deal with my campaign person. I was a kid that didn't know anything about Bladen County. All right?
Okay.
When I found out how he had treated Cogdale and I found out that he didn't want to put resources here so we can run his campaign here in Bladen County, he didn't want to deal with us, I called him.
Horace says he spoke to McCready on the phone.
And I told him how appalled I was at what he had done. I said, but I noticed how you act as if we are inferior now. But when you won a new election, you came to us, and we're the reason you have a new election. I said, from this point forward, don't ever deal with me again.
Horace takes tremendous pride in the voting bloc the PAC has built. He genuinely believes it's hard for Democrats to get elected in this county without it. And now this Democrat, who Horace and the PAC had supported, was helping to stoke allegations against them by deliberately distancing himself from the group, acting like Bladen Improvement was beneath him. So Horace has decided, if Dan McCready doesn't have our back in public, we won't have his in this election. And in this way, without Horace seeing it, the cheating allegations he's been fending off from the outside would worm their way inside the PAC and start causing havoc. From Serial Productions, it's the Improvement Association, a true story about election fraud. I'm Zoe Chase.
Good afternoon to everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Prentice Benston, the former sheriff of Bladen County, calls the Bladen Improvement Association's monthly meeting to order. We're about a week out from the special election, and pretty quickly the agenda turns to elections-related business. Walking in, I feel a wary side-eyedness in the room, like in any group or office where there's been some behind-the-scenes drama lately, but you haven't all been in a room together for a while, and now you're all meeting and looking at each other, like, are we going to talk about what's been going on or what? The televised debate between the Dems, the congressional candidates, aired last night. So with that hovering over the meeting, Horace takes over.
This special election has turned out to be one of the most unique elections I've been a part of.
He has news. The special election is considered tight, and apparently, in these last few weeks, someone from McCready's campaign has started calling members of the PAC to ask them to help out with the election.
But evidently, whoever's calling, they're working their way around me. So with that said, I'm not sure where we stand right now with this election. I don't know why things are happening the way they're happening. It's a situation that, like I said, I've never experienced before.
Meaning, I've never seen a Democrat politician blow us off like this and think they can win in Bladen County. Horace says, speaking just for me personally, as Horace, not as head of the organization, the way I feel...
If the individuals out here supporting this campaign are the ones running, don't want our support, man, me personally, I say let them pull the red wagon.
Let them pull the red wagon. It means you made your bed, now lie in it. If someone wants our support but won't approach us directly because they're ashamed or embarrassed or whatever, screw them.
I think that this organization has been disrespected. That's how I feel. But I will
and with that, Horace hands it over to Cogdale, the storyteller of the two of them. Cogdale starts by saying he wishes the Democrat, Dan McCready, well and doesn't have a vendetta against anybody. But... And it goes from quiet to quiet. As Cogdale picks up speed, his story turns into a one-man play, with him acting out the increasingly frantic phone calls he's been getting from the Democrats about getting out the vote for Dan McCready.
I'm sitting at the house, 11, 12 o'clock at night, somebody called me, Mike. Hey, I need your help. I said, wait a minute. We got to get the vote out.
This guy's calling Cogdale like, you know, do your get-out-the-vote program that you guys do. For Dan McCready.
We got plenty of money for gas and all kinds of stuff. I said, what are you talking about? Well, we got some money. You can get some workers that want to haul people to the polls and do what you need to do. I said, you calling my late on this?
Cogdale's like, no, the election is in about a week, and we haven't mobilized at all to help McCready. Because you guys didn't want us to do that. If you'd given us money for gas stipends and food, we'd have people knocking on doors and working the polls. It's a whole machine. We know how to crank up our machine, but the machine's not cranked, and we're not inclined to crank it for you now.
Then I get another phone call. We got plenty of money, man. Don't worry about the money. We can give you gas. We can come out and feed them and do a meal for them. We can do a party for them. We got plenty of money.
Cogdale says he reminded this guy that McCready had chosen to hire other people to get out the vote in Bladen. Outsiders. So the Bladen Improvement PAC was, yeah, sitting this one out.
So he said, well, what are we going to do? I said, well, the people he gave the money for need to be trying to figure that out. That's not for me to figure out. Because I'm not going to lose my sleeping time running at him starting in the next couple of days. But I will encourage people to go vote and tell them to go vote. But for me running around chasing somebody, coming out lying at some gas and doing this and doing that, they told me they had it all figured out. And I'll live it just that way.
Prentice and Horace are nodding their heads. Cogdale's wife, Barbara, is nodding next to him. The purpose of this whole part of the meeting seems to be to rally this room behind him and Horace, to get everyone to sign off on Horace and Cogdale's grudge against McCready and their decision to have the PAC sit on its hands rather than help him. But not everyone here is with Cogdale. Minnie Price, the treasurer of the PAC, breaks in.
Are we as Democrats in here, are we supporting McCready?
I'm supporting McCready.
The three guys who basically run this meeting, Horace, Cogdale, and Prentice, all jump at once to answer the question and it seems, try to keep her from putting out a whole new perspective on this. But Minnie pushes through them.
Well, I volunteered. I made phone calls. I've been down there 4 different times. I made phone calls, and I plan to go back again. I'm not looking for any money.
Man, please let me understand.
Well, we need a Democrat in Washington, D.C., not a Republican.
When the guy talked to me, I said he made a misconception of what he was doing. We know how to get the vote out, and we can get people to go to the polls.
Yeah,
but wait a minute. Let me hear you say what you're saying. Let me tell you for a minute. I understand, man. Let me finish.
I was talking, and then he interrupted me.
You finish.
I was talking. He interrupted me.
You finish.
Okay. So I said, what I'm saying is this. I'm making phone calls to the people to support Dan McCready, and I am not working for any money. I'm volunteering. This is my 5th time of being down there making phone calls to people that have not been out to vote. And if Dan McCready said that he does not want to be associated with the Bladen County Improvement, I don't blame him, because our name is out there. It's in Raleigh. If I'm trying to win an election, I don't want to be associated with somebody that's been accused of doing something while I'm trying to win a campaign. And we need to, as Democrats, we need to support the Democrats. Let me finish talking.
There's more interrupting, but Minnie says she wants to make this clear. We're damaged goods right now because of our association with that whole fraud hearing up in Raleigh. Take yourselves out of this. Put your egos aside. Look at the bigger fight.
And I just think that we as an organization, whether we get any money or not from him, that as Democrats, that we need to support him.
Horace responds in a way I think he was hoping not to at the beginning, like mad.
I solicit funding for this organization to operate. I cannot. It takes about a budget about $9,000 to hire workers to do early voting and to hire workers to work the polls every day during the election. This organization cannot fund.
Horace is shouting this budget information at Minnie, the treasurer of the PAC. His leadership is being questioned here. You think we should help McCready, he says, even though his campaign didn't give us any money for a get-out-the-vote operation. Didn't think that was important to shore up that vote here. You think people in this poor county should work for free for Dan McCready just because this dude is a Democrat?
I'm not talking about that, Horace. I'm the treasurer, so I know what you do. I'm the treasurer. I handle the money. When you get it in, it comes to me.
That's right.
And like I stated before, if he does not want to be associated with Bladen County Improvement, don't worry about it.
So you think it's okay for him to not want to be associated with the organization and come get the members and say, I want you to work with me? But not
I think Ms. Minnie is trying to say that we should vote Democrat. That he's the Democrat candidate and that we should vote for him.
Another woman jumps in to try to calm things down. Like, hey, we're all Democrats here, right? We're on the same side. But then that makes Cogdale explode.
Y'all, wait a minute. You're saying something here that ain't making no sense at all. Just because you're a Democrat and you can't deal with what my perspective is, don't mean I have to vote for you.
Amen.
People who agree with Cogdale start laughing and yes-anding, and it gets kind of chaotic. Someone else says, aren't we all Democrats? Cogdale's saying, you could be a Democrat and be in the Ku Klux Klan. Doesn't mean I have to vote for you. That's how Hillary Clinton lost her race in 2016, he says, by just assuming that all the black people would turn out and vote for her. You can't just support Democrats. Democrats don't necessarily have black voters' best interests in mind. They need to work for our vote, respect us, deliver on our issues. And that's what the PAC is for, to hold people accountable to the black voters here. Up until this meeting, I thought the cheating allegations were a problem for the PAC outside this room. I hadn't realized how they could pit everyone inside it against each other, even though the allegations weren't true. None of them were indicted or even under investigation. Not long after this, someone abruptly moves to adjourn and the meeting ends. People leave in a hurry. There's not some big decision reached, no vote by the group on whether to support McCready, just people storming off to their cars. The one PAC person left after everyone's fled to the parking lot is Minnie Price. She's still fuming about Horace and Cogdale. She's like, while these guys are posturing about how the Democratic candidate is ignoring Black people, this Republican candidate, Dan Bishop, is going to get in there and be another vote for Trump, which in Minnie's view is like really not good for Black people.
We don't need that. And I listened to that debate last night. No. And when he brings up something to Dan McCreed about Bladen County Improvement Association, no. He's doing exactly what Trump's want him to do. And he's going to support Trump's agenda. We don't need that. We're going to be back in slavery again. Never. We're just celebrating 400 years. We're going to be back there. We're going to be back there with Trump in Washington, D.C.
She sees Horace and Cogdale's whole thing with not supporting McCready as just petty revenge for Cogdale's hurt feelings from that picture McCready supposedly wouldn't take. She doesn't buy at all the principled argument that standing back is going to teach Democrats a lesson about taking the Black vote for granted. And she totally gets McCready's calculation about the PAC, that the PAC is damaged goods.
I can't blame him. I don't blame him at all. If I was running to try to win an election, I wouldn't want to be associated with Bladen County Improvement Association either, because our name, the Bladen County Improvement PAC name, is in Raleigh. It is out there. And people got that in their mind, that we did something wrong. Even though we did not do anything, they didn't find anything wrong that we did, our name is out there.
It turns out Minnie has much bigger issues with Horace and Cogdale than the McCready thing, which should worry Horace and Cogdale, because Minnie, with her big leather briefcase and her ever-present notebook, is a political force in Bladen County, all on her own, separate from the PAC. She's 77 years old, secretary of the local NAACP chapter, and she's a very busy person. She goes to every town meeting, every county commission meeting, every board of education meeting. She runs this nonprofit, and she founded this intense charter school, the one and only public military charter school in the state. That's where we're meeting, actually, in that school building. Occasionally, a bugle blurts out, telling cadets to change classes. Minnie knows people in Bladen. She has influence. And Minnie will say how she feels about something or someone. And she's been mad at Horace, she tells me. We talked about it a little later. This is what she said to him not long before that meeting.
You are a dictator.
Well, the group of them. Horace, Cogdale, Prentice, and their buddy Arthur Bullock, another county commissioner.
They have this controlling thing, Horace and Cogdale. They want to control everything. When you're in a meeting, you don't want to be the one that people think, you know, you're always causing a problem about something. But it just got to the point where we just got fed up with sitting here with stuff being shoved down our throats.
The McCready thing is just the latest in a string of decisions that Minnie felt the members had no real say in. It was her breaking point. Her view, for the last few years, is that the four of those guys have been treating the PAC like their fiefdom. The members are basically foot soldiers that the guys expect will do as they're told. Minnie says it seems to her that the four of them get together before Bladen Improvement meetings and decide what the Bladen Improvement will do, whom it'll support, whom it'll never support, who needs to wait their turn, and strategy stuff, like, we're not doing absentee ballots this year, or we are. The way Minnie describes it, when she joined the organization, it felt more connected to the community. More about uplift. She says the PAC would educate voters, would do outreach to inform Black people in Bladen County, who the candidates were, who might have their best interests at heart. Horace and Cogdale, she thinks, have curved inward. Just talk to each other about what's in the best interests of Black voters, and then try to steamroll everyone else into going along.
In the beginning, 15 years ago, you liked the idea of the PAC.
It was great.
Tell me about that part.
They were different. It was a different set of people.
Right.
Horace was not the president. His daddy used to be involved. And people are saying that if his daddy only knew what he was doing back here now, he'd be turning over in his grave. He wouldn't like it at all because he was different. He was not like Horace.
Different how?
Nicer. He was, you know, help people.
I ran Minnie's complaints past Horace. He wasn't that bothered by them, said she was just blowing off steam. I will say, Horace does help people. He'll do unasked for favors. He's a generous neighbor. But anyway, Minnie's fed up. She's gotten to the point where she's questioning the PAC's core goal of a unified black vote. If unity is just code for do whatever Horace says.
Do you think that it's possible that the PAC's power is in how many people vote along the same lines? The PAC's power is that sample ballot. Do you think that with this kind of division that the PAC could lose its power? It wouldn't.
I think it's losing its power. I think so. And it's really because of Horace. I think it is because of Horace and the way that he does things. I think so. Yeah.
Do you think there will be some kind of a loss to this county if this PAC falls apart?
No. I don't. Because a lot of people don't understand it anyway. A lot of people don't understand what the PAC is anyway and what they're doing.
But you do.
I understand. Yeah, I do.
But I wanted to know if Minnie minded, basically, that by criticizing the PAC or not supporting the PAC, she'd actually be helping the white political interests around here, too.
I think some white people are scared of the PAC because of black political power.
Yeah, they are. That's why they tried to make that report to try to find something against the PAC. That's what they did it for. But they didn't find anything wrong.
She means the accusations against the PAC at the state hearing.
Well, if the PAC falls apart, though, I mean, those white people will be happy.
They will be. They will be because they want it to fall apart.
But how does that make you feel?
You know, not. It doesn't make me feel bad. It really doesn't. It doesn't make me feel bad because maybe it'll make the people that's involved with it think about what they did or think about what they are doing to do things different.
Minnie, after years of frustration, thinks if the Bladen Improvement PAC loses some power, well, so be it. Might be good. Maybe that'll teach Horace and those guys a lesson. The actual day of the do-over election, the special election to elect a new congressman in Bladen's district, it was pretty quiet, sunny, breezy, slow. The results were in early, and it wasn't close.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tanya Rivero. Thank you for joining us. Republican Dan Bishop has won North Carolina's special election. Bishop will now represent the state's 9th congressional district. This red district will remain in GOP hands.
Democrat Dan McCready lost to the Republican Dan Bishop. And there were no signs of election fraud this time. President Trump held a rally for Bishop the night
before the election. Bishop linked. Oh, whoops. Hang on. Me and my phone right.
Horace called me after results were in. I was driving.
Tell the truth. Are you a little bit excited that Dan McCready lost?
Well, I don't want to say, I'm not going to say I'm excited. I can't use that word.
Okay.
There's another word I could use. I feel vindicated.
Yeah.
Vindicated. Horace has a pretty clear analysis for why McCready lost.
What he did was, he distanced himself from the blacks. He was willing to take a chance of losing a few black votes to get a few white votes. But they always think the blacks are, they're going to go along.
They'll just take you for granted.
It's not like Horace wanted a Republican to win the seat, but then again, it is kind of what Horace wanted. He says to me, am I gloating?
Am I gloating?
Yeah, are you?
I don't know. But am I upset about the election? No. No, I'm not. And the next person come to Blaine County and want to dismiss black people, that's the same thing that's going to happen. see how Johnson can get the vote. I would rather lose the battle than win the war.
The battle is just a congressional seat. The war is whether those politicians are listening to and accountable to Black voters. And the way that happens in Bladen County, that's through the Bladen Improvement PAC and its voting bloc. That's the lesson Horace thinks McCready learned this election. The hard way, he'd say.
We refuse to be compromised by anyone. Refuse. I'm fully satisfied with the election. And, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But sometimes you're made a fool.
Many months later, I spoke to Dan McCready. He admitted, yes, he distanced himself from the pack. I had to, he said. It didn't look good because of all these public accusations. I was advised, even by people in Bladen, not to work with the Bladen Improvement Pack. McCready said he didn't remember an angry call with Horace when Horace told him never to reach out to him again. He was upset to hear, now, that members of the pack were mad at him. Did the PAC's lack of support cost him the election, though? McCready didn't think so. In the special election, McCready lost by 4,000 votes. It's very hard to imagine the PAC, who only operate in Bladen County, conquering that margin. But the math doesn't really matter, not here, in terms of how the result of this election still exploded things in Bladen County. There were Black Democrats who were really mad about how Horace and Cogdale handled the Dan McCready race. Minnie and a group of 7 or 8 others, mainly women, quit the pack after that meeting where they got in a fight. But Horace and Cogdale weren't chagrined by that at all. The opposite. For them, if the feeling was out there that because they stayed out of the race, McCready lost, good. That proves their point that McCready shouldn't take the Black vote for granted. They felt the McCready result confirmed how well they knew their county and knew the voters they were trying to lead. That they were on the right track, basically. And so they turned their attention to their next political fight, to try something they'd never tried before. A pretty major power shift, if they could pull it off. If anyone could pull it off, it'd be these two. That was their attitude. After proclaiming that McCready had taken the Black vote for granted, Horace and Cogdale walk right into that same trap. That's after the break.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is A.O. Scott. I'm a critic at the New York Times. What I do and what the other critics here do is part of the same project that all of the journalists at the New York Times work on every day to give you clarity and perspective and, above all, a deeper understanding of the world. When you subscribe to the New York Times, it's not just here are the headlines, but here's the way everything fits together. If you'd like to subscribe, please go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Now, Minnie Price's position on Horace and Cogdale is they're bullies and they're out of touch. Horace and Cogdale, of course, feel like, no, they are the ones who get it in a place where some people, like Minnie, do not understand how to build Black political power. They're putting their skills to the test in this little petri dish of an election that hits just 2 months after the McCready race was over and done. Horace and Cogdale are working to change the leadership of the county seat, Elizabethtown. 3 seats on the Elizabethtown Council are up for grabs. This isn't about the county, just one town inside the county. And I only understood why Cogdale in particular would choose to invest in what's actually a very tiny local race when he decided to drive me around Elizabethtown one day.
This is what time is it? Come on, I'm going to ride you around. Get in the car, I'm going to ride this way.
Yeah, you sure?
I'm going to show you what I'm talking about right quick.
Okay. Bladen's little towns are mostly a highway runs through, alongside is a gas station, a Hardee's, maybe a peanut plant, a dollar store, and then you're out of town. America, basically. But Elizabethtown is the county seat. It's got the most going on.
You
Around 3,800 people live here. Its downtown is a big T, not just the one road running through. I can sum up Cogdale's tour of Elizabethtown pretty quickly. It's about who owns what.
All right, here we go.
Four white families own the major commercial plots in Elizabethtown. The Greens, the Crosses, the Clarks, and the Campbells.
All this stuff you see right here, the Campbells own all that. That building, that block right there.
The Campbells own this block.
All that little stuff, all these businesses and stuff you see right here.
We head down Poplar Street, one of the two main streets. A handful of older businesses, then KFC, Taco Bell, Bojangles, McDonald's, and then Giorgio's, the only real restaurant to speak of, where you can actually get a drink.
This right here is owned by the Clarks. Everything on both sides of the street.
It's only 5 square miles, Elizabethtown, and it takes less than 5 minutes for Cogdale to sweep his hand over it. You go down and around, out towards the bypass, which is actually named after a Campbell, and we're at the other main street, Broad Street.
Now, when you look at this, all this stuff inside this here, where Walmart at, and all we cross over there and the restaurants and over there, that belong to the Greens.
Cogdale says the four families, they've owned the land for years, which is his main point. By owning much of the commercial property in Elizabethtown, these four white families have a lot of control over the commercial economy. What businesses get to come downtown, what kind of jobs are available. Meanwhile, in the black part of town, a neighborhood called Newtown, almost none of the land is zoned commercial, so people can't open businesses. There's not much investment, generally. Cogdale's like, take a look at these messed up roads. That's how you know black people live over here. Horace and Cogdale's vision for the election is simple. Get black people to vote, a lot more than usual. And then change the zoning ordinances in Elizabethtown. Black-owned, thriving businesses serving black customers in the black part of town. Cogdale believes it's possible because of how many black people could be voting here.
All this is black district. Everything through here black.
How many, what's the ratio of like black to white people in Elizabethtown?
More black registered voters in Elizabethtown city living than it is white. It's not much, but it's more black than it is white.
I just didn't know it was a majority black town.
Yeah, majority of registered voters, more registered voters black in here than it is white.
But the local, like the mayor and stuff, are they white?
All white. So it's a seven member board. 6 members and the mayor. 5 of them are white and 2 are black. When it should be vice versa. If you voted along demographics.
It's just not enough people are voting.
They just won't vote. They don't deal with municipal election. Now you can most time you move people in the areas during general election, presidential election. They don't usually move on municipal election.
So this is their big plan: flip the town council. There are 2 black members on the town council already, and 3 black women have declared their candidacy, running against 3 white incumbents. The women are all new to politics, so Horace and Cogdale are very involved in their campaigns. The PAC, the organization, isn't even working on this as a group, just Horace and Cogdale on their own. If the women win, black people will finally have the majority power somewhere in Bladen County. And 5 days before the Elizabethtown Council election.
Zoe Boy.
How you doing?
During early voting, I meet up with Cogdale and Horace at a small campaign event. They've set up a table and a tent, and some of the candidates are sitting around. It's a barbecue. Cogdale's enormous smoker is here. It's on wheels and attaches to the back of Cogdale's truck. You can smoke the meat when you're driving, which, of course, he has. I drove up in a truck, a rental, and Cogdale teases me when I walk over, calls me a redneck, says all I need is a gun rack on the back. Cogdale's a wisecracker. He likes to poke, and with me, it's usually related to being the only white person around, which always manages to tongue-tie me. He launches right into a joke about lynching.
They're going to get hard and get killed going back down these caves. Every time you see him, you stand here talking to a white woman. They're going to have him hanging up in the tree. You're going to be doing the story. Black man lynched in East Cape.
It's really going to say, I told him you need to watch yourself.
Modern day lynching. Donald Trump said he got lynched.
This is some Southern jokes, but I don't like it.
He's doing it for Horace to make him laugh. Horace can be stiff, withdrawn, but not with Cogdale. He's easily delighted. He's energized. I can see how maybe they didn't even mean to start making decisions outside the pack together. They just talk so much and big each other up so much. They're excited about this election plan. Cogdale tells me when he first talked to Horace about backing these women for town council, he pitched it like, look at Ferguson, Missouri, where Michael Brown was shot. Horace and Cogdale described to me how after that happened, the black citizens of Ferguson looked around, like, we're the majority here. But
all the elected officials were white. And they were running the court system, legal system, police system, the county system. And they was out, it was 2-1 blacks to every white. So what Ferguson had done now, they got a black mayor, they got a black chief of police, a black attorney, everything. They found out the power was in the vote.
They did the same thing we're doing right now. Basically, educate people on the importance of their vote.
It was important to go vote.
These two are trying to pull what they see as a Ferguson in Elizabethtown, turn out black voters, and flip the leadership from white to black. This is the early voting period, and this whole campaign event is basically a place to eat and hang out while keeping track of turnout. Horace and Cogdale's assumption is black voters will vote for the black candidates, and white voters will vote for the white incumbents. Increase the number of black voters by even a bit over the last election, and the women can win. So all day, Horace and Cogdale are taking calls and doing math, how many votes for us and how many votes for them.
You can do a rough, just a rough scenario.
Their friend Arthur, who's been over at the Board of Elections, comes back to the barbecue with the latest round of numbers, public information, reports on who's voted early already.
I got 3 more pages to go through.
Arthur sits and goes over the list of voters, trying to estimate how many black people versus how many white people have voted so far, sort of crowdsourcing it with people sitting around a table under a tent, chatting about who on the list is probably black, who's probably white, based on who lives where.
What white people live at 800 Peanut Road?
Yeah, the Johnson live on Peanut Road.
Peanut Road, not Peanut Plant Road. Peanut Road.
What is Peanut Road? What's the difference?
Peanut Plant and Peanut is different.
What's the difference?
Peanut Road in town, Peanut Plant Road in the county.
They're on the Peanut Plant Road.
Okay. They're on Plant Peanut Road.
If this election was a test of their skills, election night did not look good. Horace, Prentice, Arthur, and the three women who are running for town council are sitting in the Board of Elections building, watching a big computer screen at the front of the room. The numbers keep going in the wrong direction. The women lose by a lot. Dwight Shepherd, Democratic poll watcher, guy who makes everything that's going on in elections in Blaine in his business, he's in the back of the room watching the returns. So I ask him what he's seeing. He whispers. He doesn't want to be overheard.
I can tell you, some of the people they thought were going to vote for those three ladies didn't vote for them.
Some of the people they thought were going to vote for those three ladies didn't vote for them, he's saying. When I ask him why, he says I really should go talk to Miss Minnie, meaning Minnie Price, the former PAC treasurer, who argued with Horace and Cogdale and then quit.
Miss Minnie could answer that question better than I can.
Okay, I'll ask her.
Mm-hmm. She'll talk to you.
Minnie is sitting in the very front row by herself, her own little island. She's taking notes on the results in a little notebook.
So you have a theory about what happened here?
Hmm?
You have a theory about what happened here?
Have a theory?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just glad it happened this way.
Why?
Because people that was running for the wrong reason. You take that off. Right.
She motions for me to stop recording. Minnie has a few thoughts. She doesn't want to say tonight, but she's told them to me on the record since. First, she thinks Cogdale's redevelopment vision is a pipe dream. There's never going to be a thriving black downtown like there was when we grew up, she said to me. What we need to do is give black children here the skills and education they need to leave this place. It makes her mad, the way he talks, like he's selling the voters a bill of goods. But also, he just makes her really mad. Her main critique of what happened here, though, she just didn't think the three women were qualified to run. They weren't involved in stuff, she says. They almost never went to town council meetings or anything. Minnie goes to almost all of them. They had no clear agenda. They didn't campaign much, probably because they were new to it. But I would say, most importantly, she thought they were being used by Cogdale and Horace as just black faces on the town council who they could control. Minnie's take makes sense to me. I interviewed two of the women running. They were really nice and known in the community. One of them hosts a great gospel show on local radio. And they all definitely wanted change in E-Town, but they seemed really green. And it really did seem to me like it was Cogdale's vision that was driving this whole thing forward, way more than the candidates. Some people in E-Town felt like something off was going on, like Horace and Cogdale were interlopers, bigfooting into an election where they didn't belong. Horace, for example, lives half an hour away from E-Town. Cogdale lives just outside the city limits. Why were they so deep in the mix? I stopped by Cogdale's office a few blocks away. He and Horace and the candidates and some others are there. Horace and Cogdale seem legit taken aback. Cogdale is seated on a stool in front of the group, addressing everybody like a professor at a lecture. As he puts it to the room, we didn't lose because of white voters. It was people that looked like us that took us out.
And it wasn't them, it was us. You gotta understand that. It was, don't get mad with them, it was us.
Wait, Horace, can I tape this?
You can tape it.
Okay.
I called Horace the next day on my ride home from the airport to see how he explained this loss to himself. More black voters did vote in the municipal election this time, but the black candidates he'd backed still lost. Horace had a few explanations for this. Partly, he thought, this loss was a backlash over Dan McCready's loss. Black voters who were mad at him and Cogdale for not helping a Democrat beat a Republican, they voted for the white candidates. Horace also blames the results on class divisions among black people. He says there are upper-class black people, sometimes he calls them the elites, who are fine working with the white political establishment in town, who gain from it, and who voted accordingly. And Horace suggested one other reason for what happened. A reason that, quite frankly, struck me as pretty wild, in light of all the accusations of vote buying that have been aimed at the PAC. He thinks some voters were getting free stuff from one of the white candidates. Essentially, they were bought off.
Power to win. And I don't know it for sure, but I'm willing to bet you so many black people getting free stuff that you can never imagine.
You think?
Yes. Give me your vote, get what you want. I can't prove it.
Okay.
But of course, Horace can't prove any such thing. Just like in myriad elections before it, there's no proof anyone was buying votes in the municipal election. I also had a theory for why black voters in Bladen may not have voted the way Horace expected them to vote. I broached it with him, gingerly.
I just am like, maybe, you know, the black voters, it's like, you know, it's like we've talked about before, you know, everybody's not the same. They don't see it all the same way. You know, they don't just have to be bought off to see it different from you. They might just actually see it different.
Well, they don't have to be bought off to see it. Some are bought off. Others are reaping the benefit. If you can reap the benefit of something for yourself and not care about the community, then same thing. You sold your soul.
He doubled down. I did too.
But isn't it possible they could have just wanted something different from what you wanted?
I don't think so. How can you live in a community that's destitute? Nothing's coming in. All your buildings in your community are dilapidated. No funding is coming to your community. It's all spent in the white area, nothing in the black area. So how can it be? What is it? Do you think that blacks just vote to say, I want to be poor and live in a poor area and without any development, and I want to support the whites because they're right? That's bullshit. It's not true. It's unfounded. It's something else. Think about it. Open your mind up and look at the whole picture.
It's always zero sum with Horace when it comes to politics. I've learned that. If you're not with him, you're against him. And if you're against him, you're wrong. But this is more than that. What Horace is trying to get me to see, the whole picture, as he says, it's his understanding of not just this one election, but everything that goes on in Bladen. Whether it's white politicians benefiting from black people divided by class, or white people trading goods for black votes, there's a grand unifying explanation for all of it. And Horace believes he's the one who sees it all, like Neo in The Matrix. But what if you don't see things the way Horace does, and you're just as determined as he is, and you're influential, and have a lot of connections, and think it's time for new leadership in Bladen? Well, then you'd be Minnie Price.
If it's gonna help, I don't care if I triple split the black vote. Why does he think that he could be the only black running for something?
That's next time. The Improvement Association is produced and edited by Nancy Updike and me. Neil Drumming is our managing editor. Julie Snyder is executive editor. Additional editing by Sarah Koenig and Ira Glass. R.L. Nave is our editorial consultant. Fact-checking and research by Ben Phelan. Music supervision and mixing by Phoebe Wang. Amy Padula is our associate producer. Inde Chubu is the supervising producer. Original music composed by Kwame Brant Pierce. Additional support from the staff at This American Life, including Emmanuel Berry, Julie Whitaker, Cassie Howley, Seth Lind, and Francis Swanson. At The New York Times, Sam Dolnick, Lauren Jackson, Elizabeth Davis-Moorer, Elena Serro, and Nora Keller. Special thanks to Michael Aycock, Prentice Benston, Sydney Dunstan, Matthew Freed, Amy Gardner, Larry Hayes, David Jones, Josh Malcolm, Lorraine Minetti, Ilka McElveen, Courtney Patterson, Allison Riggs and Jeff Loperfido, Wayne Schaefer, and Cynthia Jones. The Improvement Association is produced by Serial Productions and The New York Times.